Hear the word of God, as it's written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 15, which can be found on page 761 of the Pew Bibles. Mark opens his account of the Gospel with the encounter between Jesus and John the Baptist. Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 1. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.'" This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. I wonder if I asked you, could you name someone you have known or know? Someone different from the norm, someone who stands out in a crowd, apart from the rest. And I wonder if you could tell me what makes that person different. Is it the way they dress, the way they speak, the way they walk? What is it about that person that makes them different? And I wonder if you've ever been that person. And it doesn't need to be something bad. It can be a talent they have that sets them apart from the run of the mill. Imagine being at school in art class and the person seated beside you is Leonardo da Vinci. Or in music lessons, you find yourself in the same group as someone like Mozart or Freddie Mercury. Imagine you're playing your school football team and your team's pretty good. And then this kid transfers in and his name is Pelle. And your team never loses another match. There's always a best player in every team, but he's the best player in the league, in the nation, in the world. In all walks of life, there are people who are exceptional. Back in the day when I ran in school sports, we used to get prizes for the fastest, gift vouchers to spend at the local sweet shop. Imagine your joy if your school taught tennis
and you had to compete with a young and fit Andy Murray. How would you feel? Probably there would be a good bit of envy, wishing you were as good, if not better, than he was. There would perhaps be anger and frustration mixed with enthusiasm. Compare those emotions to how you would feel about someone who is different in what many would consider to be a negative way. The loner who sits alone in the corner without any friends. The person who is outcast because of the colour of their skin, or because they talk in a different accent, or they dress in a unique and different way. Or perhaps they don't wash very often, and there's an awkward smell about them. I still remember the name of the boy in my primary class who was like that. But I had no appreciation of the poverty of his family. John the Baptist was anything but normal. He lived wild and dressed accordingly. I don't know of anyone in the Bible who was further away from society. Even the lepers lived together in their own community. John the Baptist was one of a kind, a loner, yet he was not alone. People travelled from all over Judea to hear his voice shouting in the wilderness. There are people in this world today who are loud and bombastic. Boris Johnston and Gordon Brown are political examples that spring to my mind. Brian Blessed is an actor who I think I would need to have a pair of earmuffs on to have a conversation with. Some people with big voices are also big personalities. They have a presence about them. When they walk in the room, all eyes will be on them. They dominate the conversation, and when they exit, it feels like, a bit like the calm after a storm has passed through. I'm sure John the Baptist was never one to sit quietly in a corner. Whenever he entered a room or walked down the street, heads would turn. Conversations would stop. Everyone would hold their breath to hear what he had to say. Contrast that image with Jesus. The Bible does not give us a detailed description of what Jesus looked like, but there are two passages that indicate that Jesus looked like the guy next door. Unremarkable. In John chapter 7, verses 10 to 11, it says that Jesus attended the Jewish festival of shelters, but he did it in secret. And even though the authorities were looking for him, they did not find him. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas had to identify Jesus with a kiss. Jesus must have looked just like one of his disciples to be able to mix in with the crowd at the festival of shelters without being recognized. And for the soldiers to know who he was, he had to be identified by Judas in person. When Jesus meets John, it's the beginning of his ministry. There is no fanfare at his arrival on the banks of the River Jordan. Indeed, Jesus seems to slip into the story quietly. We can only imagine the scene as John and Jesus meet for the first time, and as far as we know, the last time. John preaching as normal, baptizing all who would repent of their sins, suddenly sees Jesus coming towards him into the river. Matthew's gospel tells us that John tried to talk Jesus out of being baptized, saying that he, John, was the one who needed to be baptized by Jesus. John had been the voice shouting in the wilderness, telling the people to prepare for the coming of the Lord. But John was not prepared himself. He knew the Messiah was coming, but he did not expect to meet Jesus in the waters of the River Jordan on that day. I picture this loud, bombastic man suddenly lost for words. And Jesus looks upon this wonderful, faithful and confused man. And he assures him that this is the will of God. And so John does what the Lord commands. He baptizes Jesus. And as Jesus rises up out of the water, God the Father sends a sign. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, coming down like a dove. And a voice from heaven declares, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." John points to Jesus and declares him to be the Lamb of God. And you would think this was the end of John's ministry. He had seen the Messiah in the flesh, and he had pointed people to him. But what does John do? He carries on doing the job that God had given him. He baptizes the next in the queue. And he continues to lambast the proud and the boastful. And he confronts the mighty, even telling King Herod to repent of his sins, proclaiming the good news of the coming of the Messiah, even unto the day that he was beheaded. So what do we learn from John's meeting with Jesus? Well, it was unexpected. Even to someone that Jesus describes as being like Peli when it came to being a human being, meeting the Lord in the flesh was unexpected. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." So according to Jesus, John the Baptist was the best of us, and the best of us was caught unexpectedly. So what chance for mere mortals like you and I? The Bible says that Jesus will come again unexpectedly, but like John the Baptist preaches, we can prepare ourselves. We can be baptized. But let me tell you, being baptized is not enough. No one entered into heaven just because they were baptized. We can repent of our sins. We can say we're truly sorry for all that we have done wrong. But let me tell you again, being sorry is not enough. No one entered into heaven just because they were repentant. John the Baptist baptized people with water. And as he did so, he told them that someone else was coming, who was much greater than he was, someone who would baptize not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought of yourself as being greater than John the Baptist? If not, then consider what Jesus said. Whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. How can we be so transformed from who we are now, living in this world as we are, to be greater than John the Baptist when we get to heaven? The answer, my friends, is Jesus Christ. We are transformed through his blood sacrifice, his grace and mercy, from sinner to saint. We are not transformed by our repentance or our baptism, but by the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. Our repentance is a step in allowing Jesus space to live in our hearts. Our baptism is an outward sign of accepting Jesus as our Savior. Another thing we can learn from the meeting of John and Jesus is the way that John reacts. John gives Jesus the place of honor. He directed his own followers towards Jesus. He said that Jesus was the one that should be baptizing John. When we meet Jesus, We need to give him the place of honour. But that can be difficult for us, especially when we're not as great as John the Baptist. Instead of giving him the place of honour, we bring him out on Sundays, and that's only if our team's not playing that day. I believe Jesus meets us more often than we think. He meets us through the friend in need. He meets us through the neighbour who is lonely. He meets us through the homeless tramp with us, or with his or her outstretched hand. He meets us in the curious seeker who looks at us to see what a Christian looks like. Jesus meets us, but are we prepared to meet him? One more thing we can learn from the encounter between Jesus and John is in what the loud, bombastic John does. He listens. He listens. He listens to what Jesus says. He listens to what the voice from heaven says. He allows the word of God to sink deep into his conscience. He accepts what he hears without question. We sometimes have this image of the booming voice of the Lord, like when the disciples were in the boat during a storm and they feared that they were going to drown. And Jesus walks towards them, walking on the surface of the waves, and he tells them not to be afraid. You can imagine trying to communicate in that storm, having to shout over the noise, just to be heard a few feet away. But I don't picture Jesus with a booming voice. I imagine him speaking in his normal tone. And by the power and authority he possessed over nature in particular, his voice carried so that all who needed to hear what he had to say did so. When he spoke to the multitude on the mountainside, to the thousands who heard the Sermon on the Mount, there were no complaints from those in the back that they could not hear what he was saying. No, I believe that the still small voice of Jesus carried by the power and authority that he possessed. And I believe that today, that still small voice of Jesus speaks to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. A voice that we are aware of when we hesitate before doing what we should not. A voice that gives us an option to turn from our temptation. A voice that we sadly often choose to ignore. Jesus speaks with power and authority, but he is not like others in that position. He was not born in a palace. He did not command an army. He does not sit on a throne. He worked as a tradesman. He did not have millions in the bank. He walked everywhere because he didn't own a horse, never mind a house to sleep in. Jesus stands out from the crowd. He practiced what he preached. He did not make war with his enemies. Instead, he gave his life for them. He gave his life for you and me. And while we are yet sinners, we are his enemies. Let us give Jesus a place of honour in our lives. Let us who are his followers stand out from the crowd as those who live by a different and often unexpected standard from the world, a standard that the world will not accept. Let us be different for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, it's so easy to run with the crowd. So easy to get caught up with the enthusiasm and excitement that the world tempts us with. And yet, Lord, You ran against the crowd. You stood up for what was right every time. Lord, when we are tempted to look away, when we are tempted to run with the crowd, give us the strength to be different. Help us to be bold. Help us to be strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.